The Californians are claiming coffee causes cancer.
Sure, why not?
So maybe you've seen the headlines that multiple studies have been done showing that coffee in moderation can do good things for you. You know, obviously more research needs to be done. But you want to know that one story headline you never see? And that's that coffee causes cancer. Because coffee doesn't actually cause cancer. But that's not stopping activists in California from trying to force coffee stores and coffee shops to label their coffee as potentially carcinogenic. My buddy Jeff Steyer is standing by on the phone to talk about this. You have been at this issue for as long as I've known you, Jeff. From way back when you worked for, I think, like two places ago, you were talking about coffee, acrylamide, the nonsensical junk science scare that is this you know, fright of this byproduct of heating food that have carbohydrates in it. It's great to have you on the show, by the way.
It's good to be back with you, Vicky. And this issue, I've actually been waiting for this day. I have been predicting it. And about 15 years ago, I actually participated in the legal process in California to make the very point that is being made today. California has something called Proposition 65. Anyone who's been to California, even for a day, has seen these signs, these warning labels just about everywhere, that something somewhere may cause cancer. And that was it's all based on a proposition that was passed by the voters in California probably more than two decades ago, that says if anything has anything in it that may cause cancer or birth defects, you have to put a warning label on it. So they forget this idea that the number one rule of toxicology is that the dose makes the poison. And this has been going on for a long time. It's not a new initiative by activists in California. It's actually the result of a really poorly thought through idea that we should just warn everybody about everything that might harm them. And that's what this is based upon. About 15 years ago, I filed a bounty hunter lawsuit, which is the same thing that prompted today's announcement about coffee and cancer. And you explained it exactly right, that there is a chemical called acrylamide. It is a byproduct of heating a carbohydrate. It's also used for industrial purposes, dyes and plastics. It's a real industrial chemical. And in fact, it is associated with cancer. It's actually linked to cancer, pretty good link. Very high dose exposure in animals is linked to cancer. So you may want to call acrylamide a carcinogen. Does that have any relevance to coffee? Absolutely not. So what I figured out was that any bread, right, carbohydrate that's baked, therefore must have acrylamide in it. Acrylamide, according to this line of thought, which is a carcinogen, then you need a cancer warning label on bread, all bread. Even organic whole wheat bread sold by Whole Food Markets. And if this law, Proposition 65, makes sense and we're going to apply it, then we should apply it to Whole Foods, which makes its business out of scaring people about safe pesticides. So if you know you want to show the absurdity of a rule, you just apply it. And that's what I did. Almost got sued by Whole Foods. I think I made my point, though. I wasn't suggesting that you can get cancer from eating organic whole wheat bread sold by Whole Food Markets, but that is still the law in California that if you sell anything with a carcinogen in it, and carcinogen being defined as chemical that can cause cancer in laboratory animals at extremely high doses, well, then let's play fair.
Oh, it's everything. To think about what you can do just on the acrylamide using Proposition 65 at Whole Foods, even pasta, because it's cooked and then you cook it, coffee, anything roasted, anything cooked, anything baked, anything fried, any carbohydrate that is cooked in any way, heated in any way, has acrylamide and thus ought to be under this rule. And again, to your point, if you give mice in laboratories 1,000 times the dose that you would ever encounter in the real world of acrylamide, you can create cancer. You can at least create a strong association in a study with cancer. But
the mice are going to be up all night.
You darn right they would, because boy, I tell you what, rolling back on my coffee consumption a little bit, one or two cups can really get me hyper. Let me just follow
through the line of thought. So foods that are the carbohydrates that are baked or fried, acrylamide forms, especially in frying, especially at higher levels. So there was a lawsuit filed against McDonald's because they failed to place a warning label on French fries. And I'll never forget the New York Times op-ed on this. And they said, you know, we're not really sure if French fries cause cancer, but this warning label is a good idea anyway because, well, French fries aren't healthy. And that's the type of fuzzy thinking that has permeated the public health community in this country, dictating laws like those in California and being followed elsewhere that just, you know, sue anyone who's making money, sue anyone who's selling things. And I always said, I've been waiting for this day because, you know, they can come after your e-cigarettes, which reduce exposure to toxic chemicals. They can go after your French fries. But when they start coming after your coffee, there's going to be a revolt.
There's going to be a fight. There is going to be a fight. I thought California would have collapsed under its own weight of inanity a while ago, and I would have thought Proposition 65 would have been ridiculous. Somebody just emailed me a picture of his boots. The boots he bought in California. Boots, okay? There is a label on his boots saying that the boots may cause cancer because something that was used to make the boots, maybe it was rubber in the soles.
There are probably a lot of carcinogens.
Yeah.
I highly recommend not eating them.
Don't eat his boots. That would be a terrible thing. But he said, even boots. And so you think, my gosh, when you've even got boots, I've been on eBay and a seller from California's got a piece of jewelry that says, according to Proposition 65, this product may cause cancer. So apparently they're even policing eBay listings from people in California. I would have thought this would have collapsed a while ago, but they're proposing a ban on drinking straws now, Jeff.
Well, that is true in California. Certainly don't drink your coffee out of a straw. It may be good for your teeth, but not the way to go. But the reason I've been for so long so exorcised by this, it undermines public health. I think there is a value to warning people about things that are dangerous. I think consumers should have more choice. If there's some risk, we should know about it. But if we put warning labels, government-mandated warning labels, on everything, Vicky, they become meaningless. Nothing matters anymore. And that's what's happening in California. Every company is going to have to put warning labels. I remember one of the first times I wrote about this, I had seen in a Dunkin' Donuts a warning not related to Proposition 65, but they were just trying to cover themselves from litigation and said, anything in this store may contain peanuts. And I saw that sign. Everything's covered. So if you are allergic to peanuts and it's a very serious allergy, then don't eat anything in Dunkin' Donuts. And you know, if they had given a more narrow warning, don't eat the peanut flavored donuts or whatever it may be, fine. And that's a useful warning. And they're a company, they can do whatever they want. But the idea that putting warning labels on everything just to be safe, this cautionary principle approach, waters down the coffee more than, waters down the argument, waters down the value of the warning more than Dunkin' Donuts coffee gets watered down.
Absolutely, because it's like putting a sign up that says, I don't know, it's like putting the sign on the door of the studio here that says, you know, on-air light broken, do not enter during broadcast. Well, you see that sign and it doesn't ever get taken down.
Exactly.
You stop looking at the signs. And that's the problem, is that when everything's got the warning label, look, you could, we used to joke about this when we talked about smoking. You could have wrapped cigarettes in Skull and Crossbones. And, you know, people weren't going to process that and say, oh, I guess this is going to kill me. And that's actually a product that could kill people because the warning labels become so ubiquitous that they become meaningless and it almost becomes a punchline.
That's what I'm worried about. And that's why I've been so concerned about Proposition 65 and the very broad application and the incentive to abuse it, because this Proposition 65 has a bounty hunter provision, which means if the government of California doesn't enforce the law, then anybody acting, quote-unquote, in the interest of the public, can file a lawsuit, which is what I started, the process I started. And what happens is, if you win, you get the fines. You split it with the government. So there's an incentive built into the law to abuse it.
You know, I'm kind of surprised that this has gone on as long as it has. But you mentioned the precautionary principle. That was behind the push, and this push is going to come again. In fact, I'm surprised I haven't heard anything about it since Bernie Sanders last talked about it, which I believe was last year. And that's the push for GMO labeling. Label anything, make sure you have, and there's another one too, and that is Tammy Baldwin, Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin wants to have every chemical that might potentially be harmful on any health and beauty product labeled as well.
And that's the same idea.
These would be federal requirements for this, that we're talking about taking kind of the concept of Proposition 65 and applying it to the entire U.S. marketplace in broad categories of consumer products.
Absolutely. And in the case of GMOs or in the case of these cosmetics, there's no real risk to consumers. And, you know, the idea that consumers have a right to know, it's something that sounds good, right? Well, you know what? If they don't have a right to know meaningless information, consumers don't. And you know what? If they do have that right and you don't see disclosures on packages that you want, then you're free not to buy that product. I like to make this this analogy that if I had some idea that it's not good to eat tomatoes that were picked on Tuesdays, don't I have a right as a consumer to know what day the tomato was picked? I mean, don't I have a right as a consumer to know? Of course not. It's absurd. You know, tomatoes picked on Tuesday aren't going to kill me. If I have this, the beauty of this free market approach to things is the idea that as a consumer, you have the right to make decisions without government intervention. And if I decide I'm not going to eat tomatoes that were picked on Tuesday, and there are other people out there like me, then a company will pop up to grow tomatoes and only pick them the other 6 days of the week and put a notice on it and use marketing to say, we don't pick our tomatoes on Tuesday, and people like me will buy them, and everyone will be happy without any unnecessary government intervention that raises the cost to everybody.
You're exactly right.
Both in terms of real cost as well as in terms of watering down the opportunity
If Boots in California were, were animating consumers enough that they wanted a label on whether or not the dye in the boot that they were never going to eat would cause cancer if ingested at massive quantities, then the marketplace would have taken care of that all by itself.
Exactly.
Gluten is a great example of that. I think the gluten stuff is a whole lot of hooey for most people. But because there was so many people who got into this and the marketing was so successful, you know, I'm looking at hair dye. I'm not kidding you, that says gluten-free. Well, that's great. Don't eat it. I guess you could, but I wouldn't. So the marketplace, if there's enough demand, is going to respond. You know, folks who have celiac disease were probably really happy that there were a lot of products out that were being labeled gluten-free. For most people, it was meaningless, but they wanted to know it, like the people who wanted tomatoes only picked on the 6 days a week, not Tuesday.
And the consumers really deserve what they get. I think consumers should be informed and have an opportunity to make informed decisions. And the less the government interferes with markets, the better off we all are.
Yeah, it's not like the food companies are trying to go out there and put stuff in your food that's going to kill you. That's just dumb, because you know what happens when you do that? Food companies get sued, they go out of business, or they kill off their customers. It's just stupid.
And the FDA has regulatory authority. If there's a dangerous food in the marketplace, they should be doing a better job of protecting us. There was a recent report that they're not doing a good enough job. But they have the regulatory authority. Maybe that regulatory authority needs to be picked. To be switched and changed and fixed, but that by no means should they be telling us, that coffee causes cancer. It doesn't. Is there a chemical in coffee that causes cancer in laboratory animals at high doses? Absolutely, there is. Acrylamide causes cancer. And what you could do is, if you follow the logic, if you call it that, is we know that the acrylamide is formed, and this is one of the justifications for the law, is now you have to put warning labels on it. Well, maybe there'll be incentive to lower the amount of acrylamide. So what could happen in places like California is there could be this misguided pressure to only allow light roast coffee. Because if it's not roasted as high a temperature, then there will be less acrylamide. And we always want to lower our exposure to carcinogens.
It'll make you hyper.
So let's only allow light roast coffee, and then it'll make you hyper, and there'll be downsides from that. But following the law, we should, or maybe just green beans, green coffee beans. Safer.
And much course, safer. Tastes like crap. Much safer. Light roast coffee, by the way. Jeff, yeah. I'm running out of time. I just want to say this because I think people always get it wrong on coffee. This is just an aside.
More
that is,
caffeine.
Right. Light roast. More caffeine. You get more caffeine for your cup if you're using a light roast, which is why I go with the blonde roast myself. Good to have you on the program, Jeff Steyer. Always wonderful to pick your brain on this kind of stuff. And I should also mention, since I have failed to, you are with the Consumer Choice
Center.
Consumer Choice Center, CCC, at Jeff A. Steyer on Twitter. Thanks for jumping on the show.
Thanks, Vicki.
We'll be right back.